Lauren Bryan, Sandra Harton, Betty Haskins.
Present.
Jill Jenke, Mauro Pacelli.
Present.
Betty Saunders.
Present.
Bill Schaefer, excuse, Earl Swartz.
Present.
And Bunny Wartlaw. Excuse. Okay.
Okay, we will start then, and we've had the roll call. Thank you. Are there any others present today? We are also present Ms. Kyle, Kathy Kyle, right?
Yep.
And
I'm Ken Whitehead, Assistant City Manager with the City of Ocala.
Wonderful. Welcome. I guess there'll come a time when you'll speak to us or something.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm here today just to learn.
We can. Has everyone read the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes that you know about?
No.
Ms. Kroll said we can't approve them, but nobody has any changes to those at this time. All right. Pros report. Jason. That would be you.
I know that, but
we sent them out. Did everybody look at Jason's report?
Yes. Yes.
They were online.
Yes.
We looked at them.
We all read them.
Right.
That's what we said we were going to start doing.
Right. You told me I wasn't reading
right.
them anymore.
Right.
Okay. Because I don't want to come in unprepared.
But
I've looked at it, but if you want me to read the whole thing,
no,
you
but
to go
let's
back
give
to
you
no.
this time to report on anything else you'd like to report on or tell us about.
Well, let's see. Well, you know, recently we had some issues with the, you know, I've been struggling with course 9 and 10, and as you can see in here, I had asked about relining it and getting some help for it and stuff like that. That course has been a struggle. We've had high lines, you know, I think part of it was the way they were put down, but I think the part of it was also my maintenance man wasn't doing a good job. I terminated my maintenance man.
That's good, Jason.
I terminated my maintenance man in reevaluating some of that stuff. Really trying hard to keep enough water on the courts, you know, this time of year. Patchy at times. Think it's really good in the morning, even good for the first couple hours in the afternoon, but by later, it's just rough. You know, it's a tough one, you know. We were talking with Mauro about it the other day about putting more water down at lunch, and I've been experimenting with it, but you know, then yesterday Earl comes to play at 3 and his court's still wet, you know, all the courts are wet because there's a real good balance between how much water you can get on them and how soon they're going to dry before he wants to play on his court at 3 o'clock, but we have to get some water down on it. But it worked out. We got it.
Okay.
It worked out yesterday. So that's difficult this time of year. But I think that between me taking over some of it and having my assistant tennis pros instead of just a maintenance man do some of the other stuff who knows much more about courts, I think the lines and the clay are going to be a lot better. I can't guarantee at 7 at night it's going to be better, but I can guarantee you that the other times those issues will be taken care of. Recently we put clay down on courts 7 and 8, 1,100 pounds. That's 21 bags. Court 1 took 12 bags, that's 600 pounds. And courts 2 and 3 took 16 bags, that's 800 pounds of new clay. And 4, 5, and 6 will be done very soon. And this Saturday, court 9 and 10 is shut down to be relined.
Well, Jason, excuse me, is that the court that the woman got hurt?
No.
Which court was
that's
that?
That's court 4.
4.
Which is just random, you know. But we're going to reline courts 9 and 10 on Saturday as long as everything goes right with the contractor and no rain or anything like that.
Say the contractor, you bring him?
I'm bringing my own people.
Okay.
But 13 and 14, they already redid those a while ago. They've been really good since they've been redone. I think we'll get the same thing out of courts 9 and 10 when he redoes them. But it's really unheard of to have to reline your courts in a year.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
It's unheard of. But that's where we're at.
Did he explain why those were lifting, Jason? Just not put down right in the first place?
Yeah, I don't want to say. you know, you have a contractor, but he has a crew, just like I have a crew, you know, and you get somebody on the crew, and maybe they're, he put, delegates lines to somebody, you know, I don't know what happened. He's tried to help me with as much as he can, but I'm to the point now where I'm just going to rip those up, put new lines down, and start again.
What
that's
is
not
typical?
Cheap. That's $1,100.
What is typical?
3 to 5 years. Easy. I called Pat Jenkins. He's the head pro at the new Adena Club. Because the same people that did our courts did their 7 courts. He was telling me that his lines are already curling up on the edges, and that's, I find that just really hard to believe, because they might have 20 members, and they might not even be tennis members, you know what I mean? I mean, that's a very, it's more exclusive than going to Ocala, and hardly anybody plays there, and he says their lines are already curling. Mm-hmm. He said he had the company Welch do his lines at the Gainesville Golf and Country Club when he was there previously, and he says it's 4 years later and they're still perfect.
Brian Bullock did ours. And it's 9 and 10?
Yeah.
When are those being redone?
I'm redoing them Saturday. It cost me $1,100 to do those, and I already did the other two for the cost of $1,100.
And you're redoing them, or you're having him
I'm
come in and redo
them? No, I'm having different people redo them.
Who's doing it?
A friend of mine named Josh, who used to work on the clay court crew.
Okay.
Just people I know from being in the industry.
So, and what is your, what's your busiest time of day?
What day?
Every day in the week.
9 to 11, and probably 4 to 8. The 4 to 6 with after school programs, and the 6 to 8 with adults. 9 to 11 is always adults, mainly women in the morning, and occasionally a Moro. And occasionally a girl, but mainly all women.
So we when we met with Jason, we talked about the challenge with trying to keep the courts in great playing condition late into the, and even in safe playing condition, late into the evening, because he doesn't get, he gets a midday gap that he can maintain those courts, but if he had to do that in the evening, you'd be shutting down at 7 o'clock, right?
I mean, it's not, I mean, that the 7 o'clock courts, I don't call them dangerous. I mean, there are times when they're obviously too slippery, we'll take care of it, but they're definitely drier than they were earlier, but if then you had a choice to play on it or not play, 90% of the people are still going to choose to play on that court. And it's not to that extent. They want to come off work. They want to get their exercise. They want to play. They know that, you know, that we live in Florida. I mean, it's windy as can be out right now.
But it's really important to manage the expectations, too,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, if I'm a member and my play time is at 7 o'clock and I'm paying the same amount of money as the guy that's playing at 5 o'clock, right? I kind of feel like I pay the same money. I should get the same course conditions. But I also understand where you sit, that in order to do that, you're going to provide great course conditions at 7 o'clock, you're going to inconvenience a lot of people. And so there's a balance in the, but we have to manage that expectation and help people know.
You know, this isn't my first club. I mean, this is all I've ever done since I was a teenager, and then I grew up with courts. I mean, you can call pretty much any court in Florida with above ground watering that's not irrigated from underneath with like a spring fed thing, and that's what's going to happen. You can call Gary Heatwall over in Ormond Beach with the court, city courts, and the club I was at before, and it's just a battle.
It is. It's a balance. It's,
you know,
and I get
that. It's like keeping good greens on a golf course. You know, your greens can go bad. They can burn out. They can get too long, too short, dried out, chipped up.
Well, we go through it with the putting green.
Right.
We have too much traffic on our putting green. And if you close the putting green down to let the grass recover, then people are frustrated by that. But if the grass is not in great shape, they're frustrated by that too. So there's a balance. And we get that.
There's definitely a balance.
We talked about some other issues. I'm trying to, the sprinkler.
We're going to get the sprinklers recessed. The windscreens for the one court have been ordered. They're just on the way. custom, you know, cut and everything. That's only for one section. Those came down about, I don't know how long ago, but it was just a few months ago when we had those storms, when we had the super high wind advisories in the area.
Mm-hmm.
That's when those came down.
Okay. We have had, I'm just moving right into staff report, sorry.
Go ahead.
Anything else to report, Jason?
No, I mean, borrow my
No, I'm good.
I mean, you know, I want you to keep checking with people and stuff, and
right.
You know, as long as I'm...
No, I think we were very productive the other day, and I
good.
Think everything
and I think that
brought up,
been
and
a
I don't
big,
want to rehash it all.
I think that's been
just,
a week, but I think that it's already been a good change,
right.
And what's important now to you guys, I know, is not that that change doesn't fade away, that it stays like that. But with the new crew and the people I'm getting, you know, I had one bad maintenance man. If you look at the rest of everybody, I have 10, a lot of people that work there, you know, I have really good people. That's one of the best things about Fort Kings. We have really good people for their roles. And I missed one, and, you know, I'll fill that one back with somebody good. You know,
well, and like we talked about, it's important for you to remember, and I know it's hard because you're just trying to get it all done, but you won't get it all done. And you have to get, you have to... hire people to do some of the things because
right.
You
oh,
can't
for sure.
Be the pro shop desk guy. The
but it's all you know. It's something you want to be involved because my knowledge is greater than their knowledge.
Well, and you want to be involved because sometimes your staff doesn't do what you expect them to do, which is what happened. And so I get that. Just so you know, too, from the city's standpoint, where we said our responsibility is to make sure that our contract is executed in accordance with the standards that we set and that we're trying to meet the requirements and demands of our citizens, but through a contractor. And so out of respect for Jason and the fact that he is the expert in the group, both in how to play the game and in how to maintain, you know, I like those comments to be deferred to him, but if ever there is a situation where you don't feel like you're getting what you need from him, then certainly you should be either bringing that here, or I prefer you bring it to our attention even outside of this meeting, which Mario did. And then we can all meet together, and because otherwise you get a lot of he said, she said, and it's better just to get everybody out there together and work through it. And we did, and we had a great productive meeting. And then the other thing is probably where we have failed and it's just coming to my realization is that since Julie retired, we don't have a clay court expert on staff. And so I wouldn't know just walking out there, walking around. I'm learning. I know what a raised line looks like. I know what an irrigation head that someone can trip over looks like. So I'm learning, but we're going to be sending a few of our guys to a clay court. USDA does the clay court maintenance program. We're going to be sending a few of our guys to that just so that they can help us to monitor that contract. And then also if Jason's missing something, maybe they'll see something that he didn't see. And so it's always better to have a few more eyes on something. We're not going to be out there maintaining the courts because that's Jason's responsibility, but we're going to be able to better monitor the contract because we'll actually have a clue. So
those courses are really productive. So that's
yeah.
You're pretty cool. We'll learn a lot there.
So I think that that's our goal and that's our commitment, just so you know. And I appreciate Mario taking the time to explain a lot of it to me. And I can get Julie out there and she can explain it to me too. But it's like I told Mario, I don't play the game of golf. When I go to review the golf course, I go with my husband on a Sunday afternoon because, number one, he worked at that golf course for 9 years, and number two, he plays the game. And so I can't answer questions like, are the greens rolling well? Because I don't golf. So I could, if it's got pretty grass, I'm happy. But I don't play the game. I don't know if they're rolling how they're supposed to, if the pin settings are in good places or bad places. And so I take somebody who understands the game with me to do that review, and so same thing needs to happen here. I need to have people who understand. So we'll get there.
Okay, anything further from the staff?
I don't think so. I think that's it. I think Jason mentioned we're going to be lowering those heads, so that's one of the first priorities. is to lower the irrigation heads.
Can you update us on the building renovation out there?
Oh, let me update you on that. Thank you. We met with the architect out there, and he's preparing a proposal for us. We did the typical, as we walked through, we had a little scope creep because we see lots of things that need to be done. But we're not sure our budget will handle it all. So our priorities are bathroom renovations and sidewalks and the plaza improvements, because it's technically an ADA project for us. It's an accessibility project. So the first priority needs to be that. We understand there's a lot of cosmetic improvements needed. We have a very dated pro shop. I think we have laminate that's like 50 years old. So
not quite. Not quite.
Okay, 30.
No,
that is a priority for us. So I don't want you to think it's not. But we're gonna have the architect concentrate on the bathroom renovations. We're gonna design the plaza and sidewalk improvements, but we'll bid those two components together, and then we'll get with Jason and you all and see what is the best time to actually implement that project. It's a current year project. Then we'll see what money's left and decide what we can get done in-house, inside. Some of that work can be done in-house. The painting, Chris had said that his crew would do the painting. That's not something we would bid out. And so it's really about countertops and making some improvements for storage.
What would you do with the plaza?
All that sidewalk that's got the rocks in it.
Right. Oh, you're not talking about the building itself, the structure itself?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Just the sidewalks that have the rocks in it and the, there's...
Cobblestone sidewalks are going to go on, and some of the other sidewalks will be widened to accommodate the cart. As you see, the cart, we have this really nice grass, and then you have that one part where you have that, the cart doesn't even fit on the sidewalk.
The cart's like 6 feet wide, and the sidewalk's 4 feet.
So it runs the grass, and then it looks bad, but if we have a little bit wider sidewalks for the cart, the grass is going to look better, and we're going to be able to travel around. And I don't think the cart's going to get beat up because that cart doesn't really have the suspension to go on the grass, mm-hmm. and it bounces it around.
And then there's a couple, I call them cow trails, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular. So you know where the people actually walk. There's the place where we put sidewalks, and then there's the places where people actually walk.
It's called a shortcut.
We're going to put some sidewalks there, because clearly that's where people want to walk. And so, when you go into universities, they first build universities, they don't put sidewalks. They wait and see where everybody walks, and then they go in and they put sidewalks where all the cow trails are, because that's where people walk.
I know go ahead.
Well, there was complaints at the women's tennis board meeting the other day about the foul odor in the gazebo from the drainage of the sink. And whoever was talking said that they had contacted somebody with the city, and they said not to worry. Did they do that?
They come and fix it. There was a cap loose, from what it was explained to me by Rini, that somebody from facilities came and capped something that had broken loose or something that had a very bad smell to it. And since they've done that, it's not... Because we couldn't figure out what it was since it was in a pipe. We kept putting Drano down and cleaning things out. But they capped a pipe. Been great.
Got it cleared out.
Yep.
Cap whatever was in there?
I talked to Joe Janke and Carolyn sent Frank out there, and he put a cap.
But what's in there?
I don't know. I didn't know.
You don't want to know.
From
you probably don't. I wasn't filled in any more than that.
So usually when a sink drains, it goes into the sewer system and goes bye-bye.
It was stopped up or capped or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently
wasn't
it
going there.
So Mauro, you had your hand up.
Since the city manager's here, is it even reasonable to think that we could sublease that, the building that's in the middle there, get somebody to come in, completely knock that down, apply for a full liquor license and food license, make that like a tiki bar, hut area, so people have a place to hang out after this.
You gotta remember, we're still a park, and there's no alcohol.
So is the golf course.
Well, no. Okay, so technically, the tennis center is one of those facilities where alcohol is allowed.
Right, but members can bring it. We don't.
Well, because you don't have a license.
Right.
So what you would have to, and we've had one there. We've had a license there before in the past.
I didn't know that.
It wasn't successful.
The Wingos built that, yeah.
There's a But you would have to, whoever wanted to come in and do that would have to, first of all, we'd have to put out an RFP. So if this is something that we decided, we would have to know the membership was going to support it. If we decided to do that, then we would have to put that out for bid.
Now.
And whoever took that over as a concessionaire would have to get the liquor license.
Right.
And council would have to approve that.
So just so I understand, this is more of an education for me, because it comes up quite a bit, and it's a fascinating idea. But if me, and I got two other investors to come in there, and we built the building, we purchased the liquor license, and we got into a long-term contract with the city. That way it's worth for us to get a liquor license to maintain that. Is that something that the city would say, now, yeah, if you want to do it and pay for it, this is your baby?
I've tried to go that route, and I've always been shut down with the city before. And if that was something the city wanted, you know, since I'm the operator already, that's something I want to, you know, have a first dip at.
Right. I think that you've probably been shut down by Julie.
Right.
And because we've done this.
Right.
And the members, quite frankly, don't support it. And I don't mean they don't support the concept.
Right.
What's not to support about margaritas and fruity drinks? but they don't get their pocketbook out. That's the problem, is then you, and what we've had several food.
If the city's not paying for anything, why would the city care?
Well, because we don't want to go through all that and put a concessionaire in there, and we provide a service, and then next thing you know, the five people that were enjoying it, now you're taking that service away from them because it doesn't work.
But if Jason wanted to do it as part of his contract,
I'd have to look at it before.
If he wanted to put a tiki bar up there or whatever.
I've talked to restaurateurs and people who've owned, I know, I teach one guy who's a super franchisor of restaurants. He owned 200 Applebee's.
He started Applebee's and Cody Steak. I mean, there's right. so
and
many
Cody's.
People that are looking at that concept at 4 King.
I talked to him. He thought
give me
that,
the opportunity.
He just thought that.
Give me the green light and let me run with it.
He told me about 2 years ago that he thought that, I mean, it wasn't cheap. He said that a decent building for that would be $100,000, but he thought that it would be, that you could be good enough to make it back, but... You know, from what you say, in the past, it's never worked before.
Well, listen, and it could be the person that was doing it. I mean, I'm just saying that's why Julie was probably telling
right.
you.
If we presented you with the city a plan, a business model, the whole nine yards, it's something that would be taken into consideration.
I would need to look at Jason's contract first and see what it says about food and beverage. And, you know, he has control of everything inside
right.
those fences at this point. So...
I have two.
Weigh in.
Yeah, I have two questions, really. Well, one question, one comment. My first question would be, what are we doing differently the second time around that we didn't do the first time? Because the first time wasn't successful.
Probably poor management
well,
that ran it.
That would be a question.
I wasn't here then.
Okay.
A doctor and his wife got the, if it was a contract, I don't know if it's a contract.
No.
But it was a nice little luncheonette. They had chicken salad croissant. They had, you know, I don't think they had beer. I don't remember if they had
what
alcohol.
I didn't think they had alcohol.
Oh, ancient history.
And probably in the 80s, early 80s.
80s.
Probably early 80s. And it was really, really
That's
cute.
What
people
was that
loved
the
it.
Biggest, remember I told you, the early 80s?
Yeah, people did love it, but apparently it wasn't. That successful. We have also had another person in there with a pro shop with gorgeous clothes and all that, and they said they weren't successful.
You can't put any clothes
so,
around anywhere.
You know.
So it goes to my question. I mean, it was if it was well done and perhaps well managed, but if the demand isn't there, why do it again?
I mean, my question to you, Mara, is
to
why? What keeps you guys from just bringing a cooler out and putting some beers in that refrigerator when you're done sitting around drinking the beer?
Because the way we envision this. We have an average of, based on what I saw, an average of 60 to 70 people that play out there every day, give or take, whatever, throughout the week. And after they get done playing, a considerable amount of these people, they leave and they go to Brooklyn's, they go to Wing House, they go wherever and have a drink, lunch, whatever. So the way me and a few other individuals envision this is that whole building in the middle, completely strip that down. We build a beautiful tiki bar, granite countertops, big screen TVs, margarita bar, sandwich wraps, everything. Just the whole setup that you see around a pool country club environment. And it would do exceptionally well, but you got to have that full liquor license to do it because you're not going to make any money on the food. And because it didn't succeed before, that is almost guaranteed attributable to just bad management is why things fail.
Probably.
And it's not ran right. But because of the members that we have out there now who have, you know, started the Applebee's and Cody Steakhouses and Texas Roadhouse, and it's incredible the talent that we have out there, and they bring this to my attention. It's like, wow, that's a great idea.
So I'm just curious, how safe is it to play tennis after you've been drinking?
It's a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
Did anybody ask you that?
What's the liability? More fun is golf after you're
No, but golf, you're typically hitting a ball away from people. At yeah. tennis, you're hitting a mat. You're trying to get it away from it.
Yeah, most of the time, it's actually the after play, you know, after you get done playing, people like to have a destination to go to. Because I'm a member of Golden Ocala also, and
we know they drink there.
Yeah, it's a totally different setup, but it's amazing how many people after you get done playing just hang out and just have a drink or whatever and then go. But it's usually done after you get done playing.
And part of that is location.
Yes.
So here you can. It's so convenient right. to get to multiple different restaurants.
Again, I just thought I'd throw this out there because he was here and you're here, and it's like just getting input because it is brought up quite a bit. And so the next time I have the opportunity, I'm going to bring it up. And
so the answer to my question sounds like that it didn't make it the first time.
If I have to drive home, I'm not going to
because
drink,
of so management.
I'm not
that's
the person to ask.
See, that's.
I'm sorry, sir.
It was a long time ago.
Well, a very long time ago,
and it was
that's the women you're talking about, a more
one of the
professional
reasons
setup than they had. They just had
families
the gazebo.
And we've since done it just with
sandwiches. And then for them to get in the cars and drive home. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then the comment I wanted to make is Kathy's dead on in the sense that mm-hmm. because it is a public facility owned by the city, then anything that happens there has to be through the competitive bid process, whether it be qualifications or price.
For somebody to run it?
Well,
that's how?
Yeah,
it would be
right.
Out. Okay.
And, you know, we obviously don't want to do anything that's contrary to the contract we have, right. So we have to look at that first. And then, you know, the process I would see is if the advisory board, you know, feels like this is a good idea, staff can't find a fatal flaw and feels like it's a good idea to present to council, then, you know, we could give council's blessing to look at a request for proposals or something. You know, we're going to build a hotel. We went through a competitive bid process for the hotel.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, looking for the best deal for the taxpayers in that process. And so we would probably have to do something very similar to that just to be sure that no one could come in later on and say, you know, well, these guys did it and you know, we could have given you a better deal. We just want to be able to say, well, fine, why didn't you submit your proposal?
Right.
Because that's the ultimate answer. Is how do you know you got the best deal? And the only way to find that out is to competitively bid it, either with qualifications or price.
Right.
You know, one thing to think about is the liability. Some of the guys get out there, women get out there, they're drinking a lot, they get in the car.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more liability than
I don't want to be liable for somebody.
I'll be liable. I'll take out the $10 million contract and I'll be 100% reliable.
We call back on
the liability.
Yeah, I mean, we cover that through liability insurance. I mean, that insurance is, you know, that forces a manager of that operation. We have it at the golf course.
Right, every business in Ocala, I mean, you can't worry about the liability because it is what it is.
Well, I think that's why we shut down. Down at our place because they said it was a family thing and that they didn't want to take on the liability responsibility.
It's not the big pro shop in the middle.
So we probably didn't have enough insurance at that time.
Yeah,
that was back
whoever
in the 80s.
Operated it. And again, it all goes back to Jason's contract. We got to look at that contract and see. I suspect it probably falls under that contract. So we'd have to look at that and then decide and you know all that can be fixed through if he's not interested and it isn't his contract then you
but I'm not giving it up.
No, I don't blame
is
you.
This,
I
is this something that you're following through
up,
on, or are we just bringing it up to say we brought it up?
He's bringing it up because he has an interest, but I'll review the contract.
Who else are your friends that talk about it with you? Mr. Prustat, who else? Give me some ideas.
Tom Crowley, Jerry McLaughlin, You know, you got Alamosa Canto, you've got incredibly wealthy individuals that would just love to partner with
you. We're trying to raise money. Where are all these incredibly
Jason knows these same people that I do, and their wheels are always turning. And
we need some
The women can support.
It's hard to get a new ice machine, but you know, these guys would spend $1 million if they know the return of investment is going to be there. In two, 3 years.
Talk about it. I can bring Alan in here. He would be happy to come in and talk about it with
us. Well, let's review your contract. Okay. And you have a copy of it. You look at it, too. If you feel like we need to have a separate meeting outside.
I would like to do some. I mean, I'm all for what he says, but I'd like to poll my membership. I'd like to give out something to everybody. I see a little survey on it and find out if they would. You know, before going forward with it, I want to know how much. If I have, you know, 67 people today, I want to know how many people are going to support it. You know.
The other question regarding that is, I've been to places that have that, and as soon as you have a where you can purchase alcohol, it quickly becomes you can't bring your own.
Right.
And that's something.
Well, it will.
Yeah, and that's need to know that that's the case, because I don't think you'll get as much support if. You can't bring your own.
That's a good point.
You have to make sure they understand that once there's a liquor license issued for that place, there is no BYOB.
Right.
Which means when you have, one of the big things with leagues now is we'll provide, home team provides beer for the visitors, that sort of thing. Well, then you're going to have to either buy their beer or they're going to have to buy their own, and that puts people off real quick.
Well, that's what the country club makes you do with all our women's matches down there. Yeah. We can't bring our own food. We've got to have it from
the
club.
Yeah, I can't bring anything there. But
so make sure your members understand that when you're surveying them.
Well, thank you for entertaining this. It's like I said, this is actually the perfect time to bring it up since, you know, all the right people are here.
And it has been talked about. I haven't heard about it in a while, but I have people interested in talking to me about it at different times.
It sounds like your first step is to check the contract, and if you would do the same,
make sure
we don't miss anything.
Yes, sir.
And then maybe sometime in between, we don't meet, this group doesn't meet, but quarterly, so let's not wait a full 3 months to talk about it again. If we need to meet in between then, to think through things, then let's do that. And then we can come back and report to the board. Do your survey, we can get together.
But this is one of the things that I think council looks for advisory boards to do for us, is to think outside the box. And that's the advantage I see of advisory boards, is you know the community, you know the customers, you know the business. I do not, I'm not a tennis player, so not in a long time. So thank you for bringing it to our attention, because it sounds like it's been a while since we thought about this. So I think it's good. Thank you.
Like a blast.
One more, just another note. Last time we were here, we talked about your golf cart. The golf cart is over 20 years old. It's put together by duct tape.
Says in here that...
Has that been addressed?
It says in here that they're trying to put it on the budget for a new one, for a replacement golf course for 2017.
Well, Terry believes that she sent Jason the information. I don't know if the two of you had a chance to check your emails, but she said she'd resend it, the information for our fleet guy. We need someone from fleet to come out and look at it. The cart itself doesn't appear to be in bad shape, but the apparatus... So if Fleet can't fix that, then we need to replace it. Right now it's not in the budget because we're still waiting for Fleet to go out and look at it. But you need to circle back with Terry and get that information. I'll make a note to remind her. She was going to check for that email. I saw the email.
I just want to make sure Jason has all the right equipment that he needs, because we've been on him about the maintenance. I just want to make sure he has the equipment that he needs to maintain it. All right.
Still under staff reporting. Yeah. You have a question about the
Yes, I've had remodeling. Quite a few phone calls from ladies out there at the tennis center that play regularly, that they are unhappy about, was it Brian that came and said that when they do the bathrooms, we're going to have to use just one for male and female, co-ed. They don't want that. They want you to bring a porta potty or something out there.
Yeah, we could certainly bring porta potties.
So they asked me to please address it, because they're unhappy.
You can't shower in the porta potty. Yeah, so but how are you gonna do that?
But with the men, they don't shower. They stink.
It's like poor
What I hear her saying is during the renovation, she would like the ladies to take over the men's room, and the men will use porta potties.
I don't think the guys would have a problem with that, to be honest. Take it over.
So that we can. Well, our plan was to renovate one at a time, as opposed to closing them both down at the same time. So what I hear you saying is, women get whatever's open, and men get porta potties.
Absolutely,
we can certainly bring porta potties.
You got more women out there.
Guys would be fine with that.
But anyway, they were kind of
very good,
very disturbed.
And just to make sure I have this right, we had a lot of conversation—not at last meeting, but the one before—about which one was going to stay women's and which one was going to go men's, and we decided to leave the women's where it was because we wanted
two showers.
At least two showers. Right now, isn't there three showers?
There's three showers,
and we're going to end up going to two. So, then, so we're going to leave them how they are.
Good.
Okay.
Because the women do shower. A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of ladies use that.
Yes,
the
guys don't.
And go home to work or whatever.
I just go home and shower.
I know, they put them in the men's because they thought they would come during the day on their lunch hour, play, shower, and go back to work. That was when they were built, and it never took place.
And now the women are working.
True.
So, that's times
true.
They are changing. That's so true. We flip flop the restrooms.
It's like you said, we don't have to have any.
Last meeting under unfinished business, they asked about the hitting wall, and Terry was going to do a follow up. At the Women's Tennis Association, one of our board members, MJ Walsh, did a very complete research of these boards. She was supposed to leave the report in my box at the courts for me to report on it today, but I can tell you that the women voted to pay for or fundraise for a rebounder. Did you look at that information? It was actually a bit.
I knew they were doing it better.
I know the city and you in the past have said don't hook a board to the fence because in a high wind it can take the fence down.
Right.
This is a net. Some sort of a net rebounder that would go on the hard courts down at the corner. And they've said, they've already voted to buy it or fundraise for it if we don't have enough money to do it. And she even had some, I only got a partial report, but she looked into wood constructed, fiberglass, solid core plastic, and rebounder nets. The rebounder nets, according to this, go from $500 to $800. They're not that expensive, and also the wind can blow through it. So Jason, I think, has indicated he would not be opposed to us putting that up.
There seems to be a lot of people that want one. I'm just concerned.
A lot of people have come to say
that court has to be totally empty for them to use it, and if somebody's using that court, it's just not usable.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Will they be able to reserve it just like they do a court?
Well, you can't.
I still like the wall better.
Get on the wall.
I like the wall better, Jay.
We're so popular.
We used to have
a warm up thing, you know. If it's open, you get on the wall to warm up, or you get there early and you wait for your person.
Is there a demand for that?
Apparently so.
Really?
I never was much good at it.
I was surprised.
I am too. I would never use it.
I was surprised because we used to have it in the wall and nobody used it.
Right.
So
we had
to blow down in a hurricane.
Yeah. When it blew down, we said, oh, good, look, that solved that problem.
We got that land back. Well, this is a thing that if there wouldn't be any objection from Jason, and with those certainly, would there be any objection from you as far as that goes?
I think you need to find out how many people want a hitting wall.
Apparently, a lot of them were bringing that. I think maybe it's not some of you advanced players, but some that want to go out and hit and warm up before their matches.
Well, many years ago, when I was working, before I came out to play tennis, on my lunch hour, I couldn't play, so I would go over on the hitting wall. But I mean, I never saw anybody else out there. I saw a couple men go out. They would have a match, and they would go out and hit on the wall before they had a match. But it was very, very seldom used.
And hitting wall for tennis is just a straight wall, right? Where racquetball has sides, but can you not use
a
racquetball?
You can.
Clyde all the time.
So I just wonder, I mean, if it's kind of just a practice thing, why aren't they just going out there to do that?
They should. Because the ball You know, does it, it stays
at least
there.
I'd rather see the Women's Tennis Association do a fundraiser for something that...
For a tiki bar.
Like a tiki bar.
Sounds more fun.
Some of his, hey, Betty, some of his friends could pay for that.
All right. Well, the women directed me to bring that to
Well, it sounds like if the women have voted and they're willing to pay for it, somebody's wanting it.
There are people that want it.
And I mean, so and it's how much?
Well, according to this thing, and she had a real detailed thing with pictures and everything, and I was supposed to get it to bring today. But a rebounder net, $500 to $800.
So I mean, worst comes to worst, that's better than spending $5,000.
Yeah, and you could take it down.
Right.
It doesn't work. I assume it can take it down. So I mean, we could talk further with you about it and show you the pictures, and then you can have the final approval if the city's okay with us doing it that way.
Would you have to take it down, like if you get a warning of a hurricane?
Probably not, because it's a net.
Okay.
Wind just blows right through it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have...
But we take windscreens down.
Well, because ours don't have holes in them. New ones do.
Okay.
What about the... does it take up much of the court, though?
Well,
that makes half, like, and half says, a court's unusable.
No, but what I'm saying is, if nobody's using that, or you come out, do you have to take it down in order to play on that court? Is it going to move in the
fence? No, it's more or less up against the fence, isn't it?
But if somebody hits the ball by you, just turn around so it doesn't come up there and knock
them
back.
I don't know how it works. I really don't.
Well, maybe you could put it on a side.
That's how it works.
Maybe you could put it on a side fence instead of behind.
Well, if it gets past you, then it goes on somebody else's court, which is worse. The way, if it's lengthwise,
wait.
If there's two courts together, you put it on a side fence and you hit this way and then it goes past you, you interrupt the two people playing tennis.
Yeah, that's
If you
true.
Keep it lengthwise and it goes past you, it just rolls into the net, you get it and start again. So it has
why don't we
all figure it out?
Jason will have the final approval on it, and if it's not, it's not feasible, then we'll go from there.
Okay.
If that makes sense, it does to me. Is there any other unfinished business? Something about landscaping that was brought up at the last meeting was that Terry will look into pricing and landscape options.
I'm working on some of that.
Those hanging baskets are beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Once we'll go in after we tear the whole place up to put new sidewalks in, then we'll go back in and look at what landscaping we want to come back in with, and we'll work with you at that time. No sense in landscaping anything at this point.
Any new business? That was sort of new, but it was unfinished built.
I think we already did new business.
I think we did. Quite a bit. Okay, comments from the board? Earl?
No, I don't have anything.
Batty?
No.
Further comments? Morrow? Any comments? Me? Already commented. All right, well, anything else that we need to know or discuss? Then, if there are no...
We need to find out, why some of the people aren't coming. This is the second meeting.
Well, there's some kind of rule about two or three unexcused absences.
Yeah, if you give me an attendance report for them, and maybe what y'all need to consider is you have a big board.
When I saw
most
Tuesday,
of our boards are five. You all had requests to leave yours at nine.
I couldn't remember.
This is a lot of times what happens when you have a board that's too big.
He doesn't have a computer anymore. So,
maybe you need to start paring your number down and not filling those with,
I did. Just
half
to
of
let
your
you
people
know.
Have to be there. So if you have five people on your board, then only three have to be there for a quorum.
That's right.
Oh my.
How do we get that changed?
Oh my.
Well, we had a few, and then they wanted more, and we went to nine.
Right.
We did have five.
We would just not fill positions as they come open.
They would have to get vacant and just do attrition out there.
Which some of that might happen if people have missed enough meetings consecutively, we can take them off the board just because of that.
I don't think I've ever seen Bunny Wardlaw.
But then I missed a meeting.
You know anything about
meeting quarterly is tough.
I know.
It's tough because if you have to miss that one particular day.
Yep.
So we'll check on that, and then we'll check with the clerk's office if we want to permanently reduce the numbers.
If you do, that would reduce the quorum.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So they have their core group.
I don't like the idea. I think we have lots and lots of interest in tennis, and maybe we could have somebody call. I know you send out an email.
I don't think Lauren gets emails anymore.
Right, so maybe some phone call system would be really nice. But I don't know who would do it.
What a remember.
You should know when the meetings are, even if it doesn't get an email.
You should. Thursday.
We had five on the original.
Responsibility.
And there were more people filling in applications to want to be on the tennis advisory board. And so that's why they went and said, well, if there are more people wanting to be on, then we'll make it nine.
So we don't have an objection to the larger number, just so you know. If we got that many people who are interested, yippee. But they mess you up.
When
you
don't.
But you didn't have anything to vote on at this meeting, so it wasn't a big deal, other than your minutes, which we could take care of them. But if you had something to vote on, it would be a problem.
Yes.
But a lot of times, when there's something important to vote on, people show up.
Must be going well.
They do, and there can be a call meeting, as I understand it,
yeah.
At any time we can call a meeting.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I just so you know, I re-upped and I'm on for Did another.
I was worried about you.
That won't be on the local board.
How does that work? You're on it for how many years?
Three, I believe it is.
I go up and sit.
Is it a
three-year
term?
Yeah, I go next year.
Yeah, typically the people that are on already, if they want to re-up, we just process those.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, then a vacancy is created and then other people just apply. And it's amazing with the tennis group, we usually get people want to, some of our boards sit empty for a little while, so, and then that's, you know, y'all talk a lot and there's, you know, you see each other and so that word gets out.
Well, before I did it, I asked them if there was any other people that were applying, and at that time there were not. So I said, well, I'll stay on it. So I'm still with y'all.
Okay.
So any other business? If not, we'll adjourn this meeting at
1 o'clock.
Good job. Good every job. Meeting went like that.
Well, it's because we didn't have a
quorum. We didn't, and we didn't have too much to talk about.